Welcome back to the show here on World Football Daily, and we do need to talk a little bit of Spanish football. Fantastic weekend for Barcelona and for Real Madrid going into the Champions League games tonight and tomorrow. And a man who's joining us to talk all things La Liga is Mr. Phil Ball. Phil, how are you? It's a pleasure to have you back on the show, mate.
Oh, fine, thanks. Yeah, everything's fine. Even the weather's getting better, which is good to hear.
You've not been as cold in Spain as we have here in the UK, have you?
It's been pretty bad. It's not quite as cold as the UK, but it's in the north of Spain. It's been raining, windy. I escaped to the Canary Islands for a week, but I came back and I was frozen. It's just beginning to get better, but it's not been great. No, that's, I have to say,
it's a tough life for you, Phil. It's a very tough life. Let's talk about Real Madrid and Barcelona, and let's look at firstly what happened on the weekend. Both sides banging in five goals. We're in Madrid against Levante and Barca against Mallorca. Both sides looking to make a statement, do you think, going into this week's midweek ties, or not needed so much by Real Madrid though, with that three-goal advantage against Galatasaray?
Well, that's right. They just seem to be sort of enjoying themselves, really. And they brought Ronaldo on in the second half, and it was kind of an afterthought, really, didn't they? I mean, it was a bit of a stroll in the park, really. It's nice for them in a sense to press us off them anyway, because no one really expects them to win the league anymore. And so, it was very much a rehearsal for them. They didn't have Xabi Alonso or Ramos playing, and that was again a rehearsal for tonight, I suppose. And it was all pretty easy. I thought it'd be sorry for Mallorca, really. Obviously, it's all very well to say that it's a rehearsal, but Mallorca down there. Yeah, at the bottom of the league, and for them it's all pretty serious. And so, I mean, the same could be said for the Barcelona match as well. But that's the way the La Liga is these days. One team's relaxing and rehearsing, the other one's desperately trying to survive.
Let's look ahead then with this Madrid side and continue down this path of Los Blancos and Cristiano Ronaldo warning against getting complacent against Galatasaray tonight. Is there any worry at all for Real Madrid going into Istanbul this evening?
Well, the Spanish media have been talking about the historical precedents. I mean, basically, there isn't one. They've never gone into the second leg of a tie 3-0 up in European competition since 1956 and lost, or at least gone out of the competition. And so, there's always a first time. The only thing they're really worried about is the fact that Galatasaray's ground is in the Guinness Book of Records, is officially the noisiest in the world. That's only because they've not been to Grimsby, but if assuming this is true, then they're playing up this aspect of it, that it's un infierno, as they call it. It's a living hell to go there and all the rest of it. And of course, it's true that Galatasaray supporters will make a lot of noise and let off a lot of flares, etc., etc. But I think that it's going to be difficult for them to turn around 3-0. I mean, you could argue that if they get an early goal and they get the fans behind them, then Madrid might get somewhat uncomfortable. I personally can't see a problem. Galatasaray could win it. It's true. They could win it 2-1 or something. But if Madrid score a goal, I think it's doors closed, isn't it? Really, that's the point. But if Galatasaray get an early one, it could be sort of game on, couldn't it? I don't think it's over entirely. And I think that Cristiano Ronaldo was quite right to say that. Mourinho said the same thing.
No Xabi Alonso and no Sergio Ramos, of course, after their convenient, shall we say, bookings that they picked up on the last game against Galatasaray. Does that leave them a little bit more exposed at the back? Who do you think is going to be filling in? Because we saw that Michael Essien coming in at right back in the last game in the Champions League in a very awkward position for him.
I think what they're going to do is stick Albiol in there at centre-back with Varane. Possibly Essien at right back, yeah. But Varane's playing so well at the moment that I can't see a particular problem, to be honest. I think Albiol does fine when he moves across, and Essien on that below. I don't particularly think they're weak, and Modric is going to be there in Alonso's place. He's not the same kind of player as Alonso. He's a fantastic player, yeah. The tactics changed slightly with Modric. He's not that metronomic sort of player that Alonso is, but in fact, he's in some ways he's more dynamic. Perhaps he's not as good defensively to come back to your point. Modric doesn't have those defensive instincts that Alonso has developed over the years, but I really don't see a big problem
there. it's perfectly set up for Jose Mourinho's side tonight. Do you think they have to? They can afford, just to sit back and take this game in their stride, or will we see them still having a bit of urgency about their play? How will Mourinho set this side up tonight?
I think he'll inevitably try to play some kind of possession game in the first 20-25 minutes, because if you concede possession and you park the bus, then the whole ground's going to get on top of you, aren't they? If Galatasaray have got too much possession in that first half an hour, that's crucial, then the noise factor and the home factor could probably unhinge Madrid. I mean, if I were Mourinho, what I would do is I'd seek to have the ball. You know, I mean, Madrid can do this if they want to. I mean, people describe them as a classic counter-attack side, but I think counter-attacking would be more sensible at different phases of this game. I think that at the beginning of the game, really, they should try and have the ball and just quieten things down. You know, shut the Galatasaray supporters up, and that's what I would do. I don't know if you'll do it.
I'm surprised you haven't got the kind of the bat phone down to Mourinho's office at Real Madrid, kind of giving him the tips, Phil. Mourinho looked very forlorn almost, though, after that win against Galatasaray in the Bernabeu. Didn't seem too excited by the fact that this side had taken a 3-goal advantage. What do you get the feeling about Mourinho about this Real Madrid side? And a couple of people had said possibly that, you know, could he stay after this season if he wins the Champions League? Or is he set on leaving and getting out of Madrid with a Champions League trophy, of course, this year, Stowe, in his hand?
The whole Madrid thing is so up and down, you know. It's difficult sometimes to judge it, you know. When the Madrid press get on his back, you know, he sort of fights back and makes those acid comments and then says something like, you know, I won't be an FDA, and drops his kind of phrases. And then, but when they get off his back, which they've done recently, and everything seems to be all happy again in the camp, perhaps apart from the Casillas issue, perhaps. You know, you start to realise that maybe you can stay, and if they were to win the Champions League or even to get into the final, you know, you would have to say that the atmosphere will change even more. And so it's sometimes difficult to predict, you know, all this stuff about him going. Well, you know, he's got a year in his contract left, you know, in legal terms, anything can happen. He did say, didn't he, that things are going to happen that nobody can imagine. Everybody's been speculating what he meant by that in sort of Cantona trawler terms. You know? I think when they won at Manchester United, everybody was saying that he was saying the things that he said because he fancied the job there, or at least he was ensuring some possibility that it might happen. But you know, who knows? I mean, he can work anywhere. He knows that it's not a problem for him, particularly, is it? And if he stays at Madrid, it's not a problem either, and particularly with a Champions League trophy under his arm, or even, you know, the achievement of having got to the final. So I can't say either way, but I don't think it's quite as black and white as it appeared to be, say, a month ago.
Just finally, Phil, before we move on to Malaga and Barcelona quickly, Real Madrid, will they have Lopez in goal tonight? Will it be Casillas in between the posts once again? And Higuain or Benzema as well? Who takes that lead role up front?
All the speculation is that it'll be Benzema up front and that it'll be surprisingly Casillas in the goal. And it's quite interesting, isn't it? Almost as if he's going to give Casillas a game because he's not really that worried about losing. and anyway, he hinted that since Diego Lopez came, Casillas has been training better, you know, which has been one of the rumours about Casillas over several years, actually, that he was a great keeper, but he didn't train very well and he was a bit lazy, you know. So, and Mourinho was the first person to actually confront him about that, you know, which is quite interesting. But apparently it looks like Casillas is going to play and Benzema will start up front.
The other Spanish side that play this evening is Malaga taking on Dortmund in Germany. Compared to Real Madrid's task tonight, this Malaga task looks almost impossible to take on Dortmund at home in the Champions League. They're the underdogs going into this one, but what do they have to do to get past this Dortmund side that's been so powerful on their home soil?
Well, yes, absolutely, but it's difficult to say that they've got no chance when it's, you know, when the aggregate scores 0-0, you know, I mean, they could have done with a goal at home, obviously. But I'm not so sure that Dortmund are hugely confident about it themselves. You know, I mean, they're up against a good side. You know, I mean, if you look at So you look at the Malaga team, it's in terms of, on paper, it's good, you know. I know they lost 4-2 on Saturday at Real Sociedad, but they weren't playing with their normal personnel, you know. They've got this other thing, this motivation that Pellegrini's father died and he went to Chile on, I think, yesterday. He's back. It's amazing he's back, you know, so he's going to be actually at the game as well, which is amazing. He's just been sort of round the world in about 12 hours or something, and it's extraordinary, and he's massively respected by the players, and there's a great spirit there despite all the stuff that's gone on, you know. So, you know, in terms of the team that they are at the moment, you know, I don't see it quite as clear cut as that, you know. Dortmund are good at home, it's absolutely true, they're a good side, you know, and again they've got this fantastic support behind them, and it's a bit like Galatasaray, isn't it? It's also a infierno, but I don't know. I see possibilities. If Malaga score, I think they've got a chance.
You mentioned the players respecting Pellegrini there, Phil, but what about in terms of just as a manager globally, Pellegrini, what he's done with this Malaga side? Some people have said that you know, they've still had plenty of money thrown at this team, but to take what has been not a ragtag bunch, but a lot of players that might be considered a little over the hill maybe, and turn them into a side to go to the Champions League quarterfinal still with a chance of getting through, and a great chance, as you say. How much of this is down to just Pellegrini being a fantastic manager?
I think it's down to him totally. The only reason that he left Real Madrid was because he was hounded out by Marca, by the particular editor at that time, who's now himself been hounded out. It was a disgraceful episode, to be honest. Also, of course, you know, they wanted the media circus that Mourinho attracts, and of course it does. Commercially, that does have its advantages, but Pellegrini has also had a very good year around Madrid, a record number of points. I mean, it needs to be remembered, and everywhere he's gone, he's done well, either with or without resources. You're quite right. I mean, he's turned Saviola again into an effective forward, and Saviola seemed to have disappeared off the scene. Joaquin, everybody said he was over the hill, but he seems to have got him playing well again. I mean, he's got Baptista there as well. He disappeared and came back. I mean, Toulalan as well. He's no spring chicken, is he? And Didi Kellis and people like this. You're absolutely right. I mean, Woody Caballero was not a goalkeeper who anybody was talking about before he came to Malaga. And of course, Young Isco is a terrific footballer. He's just again, he's the ace in the pack, obviously, but possibly. That's not so much down to Pellegrini, but the rest of it is. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that they've been very much moulded by him, and he's managed to keep the spirit in the club despite, you know, players not being paid and all the rest of it. And it's a real, institutionally, it's a real mess, but he's held it together. Fantastic.
This Malaga side, as a club, Malaga inexperienced, obviously, in the Champions League, it's their first venture into it, but there are players with Champions League experience into it. How vital could that be on an evening like this, as opposed to Dortmund that, as a club, has Champions League experience, but as players, not many of them have racked up many hours in the Champions League in their careers?
That's a very good point. Yeah, I'm just looking at the lineup or thinking about them. Yeah, you're right. I mean, in Malaga, you've got Joaquin, Saviola, Baptista, Toulalan, Dini Kelly. So all these guys have got that sort of experience, and they're not going to be as necessarily intimidated by the situation as perhaps a younger side would be. I mean, that's a very good point. I go back to the original point. I think that it's in the court, in the sense of Borussia to really kind of think about how they're going to play this game. Not so much Malaga. I think Malaga can wait. You know, they can wait around. They can wait and see what happens in the game. They've got enough players who can do that. You know, I'm always a bit worried about them at the back. I think that the goalkeeper is very good. I think Lugan and Dimi Kellis at the back sometimes can be a bit slow with it. Perhaps a sort of weak link in the side. I don't know. And there are some pretty nitty players in. For the Germans, you know, Reus, Goethe, you know, Lewandowski. I mean, they're nice players, you know. But I don't know. As I say, you know, all they need is a goal, isn't it? And they've got people up front who can score. But all they need is a goal, and Borussia are going to have to really scratch their heads a bit.
Do you like the fact that Malaga, unlike maybe Barcelona and Real Madrid, that have that kind of go-to guy, Messi or Ronaldo, that can get them out of jail? Malaga almost don't really have that. But what they have is a grouping of players that all can, if needed to, try and pull something out of the bag in Saviola, in Baptista, in Santa Cruz coming off the bench, Isco, etc. Do you see that as a positive, and not having that world-class guy that everybody suddenly looks to in a tough situation?
Yeah. I think they sort of, they look, as it were, they look to Isco at times for a bit of inspiration, you know, if it's not there. But yeah, they've been functioning all season as a unit. I mean, that's absolutely right. I mean, and Barcelona function as a unit in a different way, don't they? If you do take those figures out, they sometimes, you know, sometimes things start to go wrong. They very quickly put them right. but we're talking here about, as you say, about a second leg. You know, you haven't got time. You've got to get into that game. You've got to win it, basically. And I mean, that's Malaga's basic problem, isn't it? I mean, well, I was going to say they've got to win it. They haven't. They could draw 1-0 and go through, of course. That they've also got that advantage that Borussia didn't score in Malaga. You know, that is also a thing to consider. But you know, they don't have to win as such. But yeah, it's a good point. I've not really thought about that. Amazingly, there is a spirit. There is a spirit of unit, of collective in that team that you wouldn't expect, I think, in the circumstances.
Just finally, obviously, Barcelona in taking on PSG, Phil. We've kept you very long here on the show. Just a last couple of questions, if that's all right, on Barca-PSG.
Yeah.
What have Barca learnt from PSG in that first leg? Because many people were expecting Barca to get through reasonably comfortably against PSG, even though the money that they've spent. Have Barca kind of realised that they can be exposed by anybody in this tournament? Will they rectify any mistakes in the second leg this week?
Well, I think that's been there. Yeah, I think that's been their problem all season, despite the fact that, you know, again, they're miles ahead in the Spanish league table, and they're still playing pretty fantastic stuff, you know, most weeks. But I think that what you saw quite clearly was that they're, you know, they can soon be exposed by you know, good sides, and you know, PSG certainly are that. You know, I thought it was a great game. I thought it was a really interesting match, the first leg, and it's funny really. I just never had that feeling that they were really safe because there's too much talent in that PSG side with all the money that's been spent on it. There's just too much talent in there. I personally thought that Ibrahimovic, for example, in the first leg was awful. I thought he played really badly. He kept falling over the board. He was doing everything wrong, but he still scored and made a goal. You know, so it's that kind of thing that they're up against. I mean, they play well away as well. You know, certainly in the French league, they're able to switch their tactics depending on what they need to do. You know, they've got the players. You know, I mean, all this stuff about Beckham is ridiculous. You know, Andy Beckham's a fantastic player, and I wish he was still playing for England. You know, I don't know why he isn't, to be honest. No, I'm absolutely serious. You know, I mean, he's knocking the ball 40, 50 yards to people's feet. The only reason why they thought that Verratti should have been in was because Verratti's faster and younger, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's more useful in that kind of situation. I personally thought that it was perfectly reasonable that Beckham was playing, and he might indeed be playing tonight, you know, and in these sort of circumstances, a guy who can put his foot on the ball and just play it short or play it long or whatever is the kind of guy you need, and it might be more useful than Verratti tonight. But I think Barca don't tend to underestimate opponents. You know, they've been taught good lessons by people like Guardiola and Kike Villanova, and they wouldn't underestimate Grimsby Town, no matter underestimate PSG. You know, so it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a very interesting game. I think Barca will go through, to be honest, but I don't think they'll go through easily.
It's a very easy thing to do, though, to underestimate Grimsby Town, Phil. I have to say that I've seen many a side do it here in England. Just finally, then, and hopefully you'll answer this after I have a pop at your club side, Phil. Does Fabregas, after a fantastic hat-trick on the weekend, yes, it was against Mallorca, struggling in that La Liga relegation battle, but does Fabregas, has he earned enough to get a starting position against PSG? He didn't start in the first leg in Paris.
Yeah, depends on how Villanova sees it tactically, doesn't he? It's always this big question, you know, if Messi's not playing, then how does the whole thing rearrange itself? Obviously, with Messi, it's not a question of who you replace him with. It's a question of how you redo the system, isn't it? And you know, it worked perfectly at the weekend, and Fabregas, as you say, comes up with a hat-trick. I think, personally, if you score a hat-trick, it's a little bit weird not to put somebody in. I think that Fabregas will start, yeah. I think he'll start in that false nine position and make PSG think a little bit, you know. Possibly Villa out wide as well. I think they might stick on as much artillery as possible, to be honest.
Is this a big crunch time for Barca if they don't have Messi tomorrow night? And questions will then be asked, is this a one-man side or not, on the back of this result, do you think?
Oof, yeah, I think that's why it's so important. You know, can you imagine if they went out at this stage, you know? I mean, this, you know, they've already won the league virtually, and yet, in a sense, nobody's given them much credit for that, you know. I guess because of the fact that in the first half of the season, Real Madrid weren't playing particularly well. Barca were playing well, but not as well as last season. And so, in a sense, there's a kind of, it's fizzled out of it for them. You know, the Champions League is fundamental for them. You know, I think if they blow it at this stage, then it would be really quite serious. You know, people start to ask questions about, you know, why did, you know, it's very good to bring back Titi Villanova, isn't it? But he's not very well. You know, we should be thinking about a new manager. Da, da, da. You can see it all starting. So I think it's fundamental for the whole institution, actually, that they at least get to the final. You know, it would be interesting, wouldn't it, for Real Madrid Barcelona final in the Champions League. Never happened before, but I think from a personal point of view, that's what I want to see. But let's see what happens.
It's the one that everybody wanted last season. It's the one that we might get this season, that's for sure. Phil, there's obviously the draw coming up on Friday as well, but thank you so much for taking time out to join us today on World Football Daily and have a chat with us all things Spanish football heading into a massive week of Champions League fixtures for the Spanish sides, mate.
Okay, my pleasure.
Thanks so much, Phil. Phil Ball there joining us on World Football Daily Talk, all things Spanish football going into the Champions League games this week. Tonight, Malaga taking on Borussia Dortmund, Real Madrid taking on Galatasaray, and tomorrow night, PSG will, of course, be taking on Barcelona in the Camp Nou. Going to be a very, very difficult game for Barca without Lionel Messi. We'll be talking about that a little bit later, a little bit tomorrow as well. We're also going to be chatting about the other games coming up in the Champions League all week. And when we return, we'll be giving you our build-up to tonight's Champions League matches right here on WFD. We'll be back in just a moment.